to Deacon Dialogues, bringing you a deacon's perspective on the world we live in and the Catholic faith we are called to. And now, here are your hosts, Deacon Rich Napoli and his wife, Janet.
Hi, this is Deacon Rich Napoli, and you're here on Deacon Dialogues. I'm normally joined by my beautiful wife, Janet, but she couldn't join us today. But this is a wonderful time of the year as we wrap up the summertime, although I refuse to let it believe that it's actually coming to an end. But it is, and that's sad news, but it's also wonderful news for the Archdiocese of Philadelphia, because as you know, we have a series of events happening in September that culminate in the Pope coming to say Mass here in Philadelphia. So we're all very excited about it. I'm sure you've seen it all in the news. You've heard, John and I have done a series of programs on the World Meaning of Families, and more speaking about the topics and the theology of the family and why it's important for everyone to come regardless of your station in life, whether you're married, whether you're single, whether you're a clergy, whether you're divorced, whatever, consecrated. There's value in understanding the beauty of the family. And this session, since it's coming close to the time when we actually have the visit, the questions now are becoming more logistical. You know, how are we going to get there? What are we going to see? What's going to happen? What's the itinerary? So I thought that the last session we would do would focus more on some of those logistics and help people understand, you know, what's going to happen over those that week, and especially that weekend when the Pope is here. So it should be an interesting show. As I said, my wife, Janet, couldn't join us today, but I do have a guest on the show, Laura Korish, a parishioner at St. Andrews and also a coworker of mine. So welcome to the show, Laura.
Thank you so much for having me today, Rich.
Yeah.
It's a pleasure.
Good, good. And it's nice to have someone to talk to. Otherwise, I'd be talking to a wall here. So.
Okay. Well, that's good.
But Laura is also going to the World Meeting of Families, right?
Yes.
To some of the Congress and as well to the weekend.
Yes, right. I am. So I'm still trying to figure out which sessions I'll be attending and which days, but I definitely will be excited to attend and try to soak up all the information I can. So
right.
It will be a great experience.
Good, good. Well, we'll talk a little bit about, you know, what's going to happen, and then a little bit about what's in the Congress, which is what they call the conference. And then we'll talk about the papal visit, and then finally end up with some of the hardcore logistics, which are evolving as we speak. Still not finalized yet, but we know more than we did before. So let me first remind everybody you're listening to Holy Spirit Radio, WISP, 1570 AM and 1420 AM. In Doylestown and Coatesville. I'm your host, Deacon Rich Napoli, and the topic today is the logistics and the understanding of the World Meeting of Families event and what it constitutes and how you can best get to it or avoid it if you want to stay away from it, because some people just want to kind of avoid all the crowds.
What are you talking about? Everyone should want to come.
I think so. I mean, I'm going to be there the whole week. I just think it's going to be an outstanding event, a once-in-a-lifetime event for me anyway, and certainly probably for Philadelphia. So I just want to be a part of all of it. But you know, there are challenges, and some people, you know, may not be up for the challenges, because it is, you know, I think the right context to have for this is not so much a trip to Philadelphia, but a pilgrimage. You know,
right.
Think about if you were going on a religious pilgrimage. You know, there's always sacrifices involved in arriving to that destination and putting yourself in that spiritual mindset to say, I'm doing this. Yeah, it's not all going to be fun and games, but I'm doing this because it's important to my faith and it's important to my soul. So I think that's the attitude we have to have. But let's go through some of the you know, what things that are going to happen. So let me start at the beginning and just remind everybody what the World Meaning of Families is, because I think until it came to Philadelphia, I'm not sure a lot of people knew exactly what it was. So the World Meaning of Families is an event that happens every 3 years around the world, sponsored by the Vatican. And think of it, many people already know what World Youth Day is, where youth from all over the world meet in a city. They have a series of events, and then, you know, capstone with the Pope saying a Mass. This is the same concept, but for families, not for just for youth, but for families. So, you know, parents and children together. So it's held every 3 years. It's been in a number of cities around the world. It started in 1994 by Pope John Paul II. It's sponsored by the Vatican's Pontifical Council for the Family. And it's been in cities in Rome, such as Rome and Rio, Manila, Valencia, Mexico City, Milan, and now Philadelphia. This is the first time the World Meeting of Families is being done in the United States, and certainly the first event of this kind in Philadelphia. And I have to say, you know, whatever else you might think about the event, it is a major event for Philadelphia. I mean, from a secular standpoint, it is expected to bring almost $500 million to the local economy, given the people that are there and the events that will be happening, the hotels, the food, and everything. It's an enormous boost to the Philadelphia economy, just from a secular standpoint. It's also a huge logistical challenge for the city to, you know, host 2 million people as they descend on the city on Sunday, the 27th, to see the Pope. But we'll get to that later. So as I said, it's the first time being held in Philadelphia. It's being held from September 22nd to the 27th. That's a Tuesday to a Sunday. And there's two parts to the event. We're going to talk about both parts, right? Everybody focuses on the papal visit, and that's we'll get to that part. But there's a an earlier part that's really the more meaningful part in some ways, and that's the World Meeting of Families Congress. And they call it a congress. It's a fancy word for conference, but it's a series of talks given by keynote speakers and a series of workshops that follow that, all on various topics around the family. And then the second half, that goes from Tuesday to Friday, and then from on Saturday and Sunday will be the papal visit. So the Pope will arrive on Friday, Saturday morning, and stay till Sunday night. And we'll go through all the logistics of exactly what he'll be doing while he's here. And he will also be spending time before that in New York and Washington, D.C. So that's the week sort of at a snapshot at a high level. But let's drill down a little bit and talk about the first part, the World Meeting of Families Congress. So this is being held at the Philadelphia Convention Center, which is, if you haven't been down there in a while, it's much larger than it used to be. They added a major extension. Have you been down recently?
Oh, yes, yes. So I've been down there for the car show. I've been down there for the flower show. And it's amazing what they're able to do with this space. It's really state of the art. I don't know if people still use the term state of the art, but it's a really great gathering space for Philadelphia.
Yeah, it's a very large space. I forgot your car. You know, I go to the car shows as well. As those of you who listen to me know I'm a big car buff. It's outrageous how many cars they fit in that place.
I know.
And the visitors that come and see it. And they have the flower show. Right, exactly. It's a very large event facility now. And so this Congress will be held all under one roof. This is the first time that has happened. This Congress, first time they've had a facility that's big enough to host it all under one roof. Most of the other cities, you know, they've been broken out in smaller meeting spaces. So I think that alone will create a certain energy level. Everybody will be in one space. There'll be a lot of buzz. I'll be there with Holy Spirit Radio, obviously. We'll be having a booth there. We'll be doing some live shows from there. So there'll be a lot of energy and a lot of great people, you know, to meet there as well. And so if you want to go to that Congress, you know, logistically, you sign up for that online at worldmeeting2015.org. And you can register. There's all kinds of packages you can get. You can just attend the Congress. You can get hotel rooms there. You can buy food packages. You can buy accept a train pass. So a quick hint for those, we'll talk logistics later, who's still concerned about getting to the event. If you sign up for the Congress, you automatically, you can get a accept a pass that's good for the whole week.
That's so great.
Yeah, so
that's
it's a little incentive to sign up. And you can still sign up. It's not completely filled yet. But anyway, so the Congress consists of a series of keynote speeches. So the way it works is for every day, except the first and the last day, there's typically two keynote speeches given by a major Catholic speaker. It's being started, for example, on Tuesday with a keynote speech by Father Robert Barron on living as the image of God. And if you've ever heard Robert Barron, Father Barron on TV, he's just a very charismatic speaker. Maybe charismatic is not the right word, but informative and engaging and insightful. And he just kind of draws you in with his wisdom and understanding of Scripture and of Christ's purpose here on earth. So he'll be kicking that off. And then So that's Tuesday afternoon. And then on Wednesday, again, the pattern is in the morning there's a keynote, in the afternoon is a keynote, and then in between, after each keynote, there's a series of breakouts sessions given by other key, other important Catholic speakers that sort of dive into a little more of the detail of what was meant by that keynote speech. So, for example, actually, I don't have the keynote for the Wednesday. You have it there, but you're probably buried
goodness.
In there.
But there's
a series of keynote speakers on different topics. So Wednesday morning, there's a keynote speaker. And then there's a series of breakouts, I think this is one thing I just want to make as a general comment, is that people, if they think about the Congress, the first inclination might be, well, this is going to be a lot of theology, kind of dry theology by some professors that, are intended for theology students, but not necessarily intended for, the average person on the street.
Not at all. And if I may interject, I do know who the keynote speaker is for Wednesday, or one of them at least, is Cardinal Robert Serra. And he actually is going to be speaking about the light of the family in a dark world. So, looking into this conference a little bit more, I didn't realize how multifaceted we can get with talking about faith and the family. And so this looks like a really particularly interesting session, in my opinion, because it's talking about just to read a little bit of the description, the human person created in the divine image and likeness reflects the Trinity, most especially in the vocation of self-giving love. Sacred scripture shows how darkness entered the world through original sin, damaging this vocation and rupturing humanity's relationship to God and neighbor. And so I think this is definitely going to be an interesting session because it's going to dive into some of the issues that stand in the way of us fully understanding and recognizing, hey, like, we're created in God's image. We are created to love as God loves. And I feel like sometimes that message gets so lost today. So right. I feel like on the upside of things, I feel like Cardinal Serra, he's probably going to shed a lot of light on how we can mend those issues, heal those wounds, however you want to talk about that.
I think that's true, Laura. I think, each of the topics, I think the way they structure it is that the keynote is more about sort of the hope for family, the theology of the family, what we should be aspiring to. And then the breakout sessions deal with, as you kind of said, our imperfectness, our inability to get there without some help. And so the
right.
breakout sessions are a lot more practical advice about how to deal with, so I don't have this perfect family. How do I deal with the family I do have? And how do I draw them closer to God? So it helps you, give you advice on dealing with, divorced families and families that are dealing with drug addictions and families that are dealing with pornography addictions. And, it's some real world practical advice. It's not just, you need to understand the beauty of what God is calling us to, like living as the Trinity does. But the reality is we're fallen humans and we never get there.
Right.
So how do we take where we are, recognize where we are, and move closer? And that's where a lot of these sessions do go into. So after Cardinal Serra's talk there, there's sessions on the school of the heart, parents as a primary catechist. So your role as parents, how are you supposed to help your children, come to understand their faith and then live their faith? There's a session on saintly couples, models on the road to sanctity. It's actually by a husband and wife team. There are one on from Father Terence Griffith, concerns of the urban family. So, focusing on the challenges, specific challenges of being a family in an inner city. I love this title of this one. I got to see this one. It's Archbishop Socrates Villegas, One Ring to Rule Them All, The Covenant of Marriage. So kind of a little playful in reference there to the Lord of the Rings, trilogy.
That's neat.
But talking about the covenant of marriage, the ring that you wear is a real a covenant, different than a contract, a unique permanent joining of a man and woman in a way that's never intended to be broken. I love this one for you, Laura. There's one on where's this relationship going?
Oh, I saw that one.
Dating as discernment. Laura is a young single woman here in our parish. But, you know, dating as discernment. Dating is not just something you do for fun, although it can be fun, but it's part of the process of I'm choosing a spouse. I'm choosing a mate. And that discernment process, is this the right person for me? And if not, let me, you know, break that off because there's no sense in moving forward if it's not going to lead to a marriage.
And I have to say, if I can do a really quick aside, yeah. I'd be especially interested to see this chalk, not just because, oh, I'm a single person and how do I play a role in the family, but also because just adopting the idea of discerning through a relationship and discerning whether somebody could potentially be my spouse has really helped me go into every dating situation, every relationship with my eyes wide open and my heart also open to what God wants for me. So I think that that would definitely be something I would be interested in seeing.
Yep. And I think that's, you know, it's a tendency that people have when they hear about this world meeting of families is, well, it's only for, you know, parents and children, you know.
Right.
But it's not. It's for everybody. Everybody is part of a family, one way or the other. They're either part of, either creating a family of their own or they're part of a larger family that they grew up in. They're part of the family of the community of the church. So there's always a family paradigm here to be pursued.
Mm-hmm.
Other talks there are how to grow in virtue, the special place of women in the family. I'm just reading something, some other breakout sessions. Helen Alvarez, a wonderful speaker on the fertility of Christian love, and on and on and on. So that's just the one, after the one keynote of Cardinal Sarah there, there's like 13 breakout sessions. And that's the model for this whole week of sessions. There's a breakout, I mean, a keynote in the morning, a keynote in the afternoon. And after each keynote, there are a series of workshops, much smaller, right? So the keynote, everyone will be attending. That'll be 15,000 people there. And then it breaks down into the much smaller sessions that you go to, whatever your particular topic of interest is. And my challenge whenever I go to conferences like this is I always want to hear multiple conferences at once, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you won't be able to do that live, but all this will be recorded. It'll all be available after, so you can hear the sessions that you may have missed.
Oh, that's great to know.
Yeah, yeah. So don't feel like you're missing out, you know, on the wisdom of these wonderful speakers. So if we go on, let's see, on Wednesday afternoon, Laura, do you have the Wednesday afternoon one?
Ooh,
if not, we'll,
that's a good one.
We'll move on. I can talk a little bit about why she's finding that one. I can talk about on Thursday morning, the keynotes by, I'm just going to stretch my Spanish here, Juan Francisco de la Guardia and Gabriela de la Guardia. And it's on a gift from God, the meaning of human sexuality. And that's a topic that has often, corrupted, changed. The meaning of sexuality has changed so much in our society from what God has intended for us. It's, you know, we're often labeled as sort of out of touch and not in view of where the world is today. And in some ways, that's true. But that doesn't mean that it's not a, it wasn't the right approach to begin with. I mean, God created us a certain way for a certain purpose, and when we conform to His model for sexuality and how it's to be used, it's an incredibly powerful force in our lives that binds us with our spouse and that unites us with our spouse, and you know, leads to the procreation of children. So, understanding that will be a key topic for Thursday. And then again, a bunch of breakout sessions. Scott Hahn will be talking. Those of you who have listened to EWTN, you know Scott Hahn, one of the foremost speakers on Catholic radio. He'll be talking about Back to the Garden of Eden, unearthing God's covenant with humankind. There'll be other ones there. Another one for potentially for singles. It's called No Strings Attached, Responding to the Hookup Culture.
And
for those of you not of this generation, hooking up is a term that doesn't mean just meeting somebody. It tends to mean a casual sexual encounter as well. Well, friends with benefits is another one you hear. Like, but this whole kind of
so many different ways to talk about it.
Yeah, this whole notion of this you know, that sex is just a sport and has recreational value but no other value. You know, that where these shows, these sessions are all about sort of repudiating that and saying, no, there's a much more important purpose for sex than just pleasure. So anyway, there'll be sessions like on that, talking about the Holy Family, which is a great model for us, and how to live our family. There's sessions on I like this one. There's no vacation from vocation, which
right.
means that we're constantly discerning our call. What's our vocation in life? And vocation doesn't necessarily only mean the call to priesthood or the clergy or religious life. We all have vocations in our lives, whether to married life, to single life, religious life. Discerning that call is a constant process we always go through. So anyway, there are lots of good sessions on. Oops, I lost it already on Thursday.
Right. I think for
Laura,
Thursday.
Did you find,
Thursday.
Yep. Okay.
I know Wednesday. That actually was the keynote session I was talking about, the light of the family in a dark world. I believe that is the Wednesday session. So
yep.
I hope I'm not getting my days mixed up here. But I think Thursday, would be Professor Helen Alvarez, right? The creating
That's one of the breakout
future,
sessions,
the fertility.
I think.
Oh,
okay. She also a keynote
She's a keynote.
She's a keynote.
She's doing creating the future.
On my copy.
The fertility of Christian love. So she's doing keynote session C, which... I'm thinking it's going to be the Thursday one, right? Because
there's two on Thursday typically. There'll
okay.
be a, there'll be a morning one, 10:30 to 11:30, and then there'll be an afternoon one.
Oh, this
3
is
to
the
4.
Afternoon.
Okay, yeah. On my list, it was unconfirmed. So wonderful. She's an outstanding.
Yes.
excuse me, an outstanding speaker, and on a very important topic. So
it ties together a lot of what we were just talking about too.
Exactly. Yeah. No, she's a foremost speaker on the theology of the body, and which is a beautiful compendium of teachings from Pope John Paul II, also I believe Christopher West is also speaking at some point in this week, and he's also one of the foremost speakers on theology of the body. So a lot of great topics there. I mean, I'd say many Catholics, if you're long-term Catholics, may be unfamiliar with the concept or the teachings on the theology of the body, and it's only the church always moves in its own time, and these teachings, although they were kind of presented in the 80s and 90s with Pope John Paul, they really only started to be understood in the last 10 years or so. And it's a beautiful set of teachings that open up your eyes to the beauty some people will think, well, the Catholic Church teaches that, you know, sex is dirty. Sex is just to be tolerated for procreation. And the fact is, no, sex is a beautiful union of two people in a permanent bond for the unity as a couple, and also to be there for their openness to life. And those two things always have to be kept together in any union. And this theology of the body goes into great detail about the implications when you don't follow those rules. You know, so when you start to pull apart. Then, well, gee, I want to have sex, but I don't want to have children. Well, that has consequences. Or I want to have children, but I won't have sex. You know, in the in vitro, that has consequences. All these good meaning things have consequences when you start, you know, working against God's plan for what He intended. So there, a lot of these teachings here, these sessions are on helping you understand the real world meanings of those beautiful teachings, and what to do if you're not there. So one of my dear friends is Rose Sweet. And she's speaking Thursday afternoon, and she's been on the air with us, folks, when we talked about the world meaning of families. She is speaking on struggling with divorce. So what is, the Catholic teachings on divorce, and what is our response to those who are divorced, and what do you do if you are divorced yourself? So the church does not abandon you. The church still welcomes you. But, it comes with some responsibilities. And so she really helps to explain how to deal with divorce, how to go through the annulment process, if that's something that you need to do. But she's a very funny, lively, engaging speaker. I hope you get to see her. Rose Sweet is her name. And she's just one of many. There's others. Topics on interfaith marriage, what to do when one's Catholic and one is not, when maybe other Christian
that's
faiths.
That's an important topic,
right?
too.
An important topic. That's a real struggle that can be handled, but needs to be approach with love and mutual respect.
I think it's great that, especially approaching the topic of divorce in this context in World Meaning of Families, because I think a lot of times people forget, because it happens so often, how much it affects the people who go through it, you know, the husband and wife involved, and how much it affects, you know, children who are involved in it. And just that the church is there to extend love towards you, you know, if you're going through a situation like that. So I think that's really important.
Right. And how to heal the family, you know, to keep the family together maybe in a new format, but to preserve the bonds, because you know, as a parent, you will always be the parent of those children, regardless of your state. You will always be the parents of those children, and you always have a responsibility to those children, and those children will always look to you. So, you know, anyway, she goes through some good topics on that. Who else is speaking? There's so many speakers here. It's hard to...
I found one that looks particularly interesting, and it actually is talking about something very interesting, just given, like, recent headlines I've seen regarding Pope Francis. And this one is called Caring for Creation, Pope Francis and Environmental Stewardship.
Mm-hmm.
And this one basically is talking about the ethical and moral import of ecology and economy for the family, and how it's just an undeniable, you know, it's essential that we talk about this. So it says, these days the family can easily suffer a twofold or a linked vulnerability from the viewpoint of the economy. So a lot of times, like, there's families that are going through problems because there's a lack of work for the parents. There's joblessness. There's no financial security. There's also other issues that affect a lot of families. In some places, there's, like, human trafficking and slavery that goes on, which is really sad. And then also from the viewpoint of ecology, I mean, there's a lot of places where malnutrition is a difficult reality. And there's housing issues. There's also, like, just environmental issues because where you live is a toxic environment. So I think it's really important to look into these issues, because sometimes they're not always talked about, or they're considered to be topics that, oh, you know, people in Greenpeace might talk about that, but I might not talk about that.
Right.
So I think that's going to be an interesting look at how we value those societal issues we take care of them.
It's all a seamless fabric, right? A seamless garment here. You know, you can't talk about the family and not talk about all the other issues in the world. I mean, you know, the environment is not a separate issue just for a bunch of, you know, tree huggers, right?
Right.
Yeah. We are all called, you know, God calls us to be stewards of this earth, because He gives it to us, and we're responsible for taking care of it, because we have to hand it over to our children and our grandchildren and our grandchildren's grandchildren. So environment is one of those things that, you know, you don't think it necessary as part of the family, but it does have a family impact, because if you don't take care of the environment, your family and your descendants will be paying the price for that. So there is a responsibility that comes as being a parent, that beyond just, you know, your nuclear family and providing for their immediate well-being, that you do have a responsibility as a steward of the earth that God has given us to make sure it's around for many generations to come.
Right.
So I know, you know, Pope Francis just wrote a major encyclical on that, Laudato Si, that, you know, where he lays all that out. And some people sort of criticized him for saying, well, that, you really shouldn't be talking about that. That's not a religious topic. Well, it is. God gave us this earth. He called us to dominate it, but also means, you know, take care of it. Don't destroy it. And so he's helping us balance, you know, our right to need to extract things out of the earth in order to survive, at the same time to balance that with our need to preserve it for the future. So, yeah, that's a late breaking addition to the conference, because it came after his encyclical. So it got included in this, and it's a beautiful addition.
Well, that's great. That's great that the conference schedule, or the Congress schedule, rather, is so dynamic.
Yeah.
And able to accommodate for that.
Let me just remind everybody, you're listening to Holy Spirit Radio, WISP, 1570 AM and 1420 AM in Doylestown and Coatesville. I'm your host, Deacon Rich Napoli. The show is Deacon Dialogues. I'm here today with Laura Korsh, a co-worker and fellow parishioner. And we're talking about the World Meeting of Families, and we're going through some of the sessions and hoping you, encouraging you to sign up. And then we're going to turn soon to talk about some of the logistics and how we best get there and prepare for this major event. So Laura, I think going on to Friday, which is the last day of sessions, there's a keynote in the morning. I don't know if you have that one. Unfortunately, ladies and gentlemen, the keynotes were sort of added late in the game here, so my copy doesn't have the listings of who's speaking.
Yes.
And Laura's got this huge tome, and it's buried in there.
I do, and I feel terrible.
That's okay. No, I put you on the spot there.
I can't find it quite at the moment, but you know, I'm getting, you know what it is? I'm getting so caught up in how great all these sessions sound, and it's distracting me from finding those keynote speeches and where those are.
So just on Friday, I'll give you a few tidbits of some of the breakout sessions. Family ties, how meals, rituals, traditions, and worship and prayer create strong, healthy, and joy-filled Catholic homes. So a real practical thing that says, okay, I want to create a good family. I want to be in a good family. How do I get there? And so that's a good session on what can you be doing every day, you know, to move the ball forward and make a slightly better place than it was. Another one is from Sue Muldoon, loving on the edge, healing the hurts of damaged relationships. So, unfortunately, almost nobody in America these days can say they come from a purely functional family. We all come from some kind of dysfunction, and we all have some kind of hurts that we carry with us from childhood to adulthood. And how are we to respond to those? You know, what are we called? Are we supposed to just let those wounds fester and continue? Or are there things we can be doing in the Catholic and Christian tradition to move past that and start to heal those wounds and draw us back to where God intended us. So that should be an interesting session.
Right. I think with that session, too, it'll touch on things like forgiveness, which I think is just such an easy concept to think about and say, oh, yeah, like I could forgive people. Like I could be forgiving, like if we think about it in an abstract way. But then when it comes down to situations, especially sometimes family situations or relationships, that's where it gets really hard. Like, hey, can I forgive this person?
Right.
So I'm hoping a session like that would answer that question.
Yep. Well, there's only one place you have to look for that answer. You look to Christ himself.
Exactly.
Right? But
amen.
And lots of other good sessions here. I do want to, I know we're moving on this show here. I do want to turn on to some of the logistics now of the papal visit. So what we've just talked about, Laura and I have talked about, has been the World Meeting Family Congress, which is the conference session that I'll be running from Tuesday the 22nd to Friday the 25th. And then beginning on Saturday morning, the Pope will arrive in Philadelphia. And so we'll talk a little bit about that. I guess I have to go back a little bit. First, the Pope actually arrives in Washington, D.C. on Tuesday the 22nd. So he'll be in the United States on the 22nd, even though we in Philadelphia won't see him until the 26th. So he comes to Washington, D.C. He's greeted on Wednesday by President Obama at the White House. He's doing some midday prayer with the United States bishops at St. Matthew's Cathedral. And then he's going to be at the Mass of Canonization of a saint, Junipero Serra, at the Basilica of the National Shrine of the Immaculate Conception, which is on the grounds of my children's alma mater, Catholic University. So it's a beautiful cathedral. If you haven't seen it, it's the eighth largest church in the world. It's just a beautiful, beautiful church. Then on Thursday, he starts the morning in D.C. Again, he's going to address the joint sessions of Congress, which is an amazing event. So I think it's the first time a pope has addressed, or any religious figure has addressed, both the Senate and the House
in
a joint session. Yeah.
Wow, that's going to be incredible.
So, yeah, I'm sure he's going to have some good thoughts for that crowd, because
I'm really hoping to be able to tune into that. That'll be very interesting.
Then he's gonna meet some of the Catholic charities in Washington, and then he's flying to New York after that. He arrives in the evening in New York. He would do some evening prayers at St. Patrick's Cathedral, and then Friday morning he will address the United Nations, a joint session of the United Nations to the General Assembly. So if you've ever seen that, that huge auditorium that he'll be at. So that'll be another impactful speech. And then he's doing some other meetings there, doing Mass at Madison Square Garden in New York City, my hometown. And then he's departing on Saturday morning. He leaves in New York and flies into Philadelphia, lands at 9:30 a.m. at the Atlantic Aviation, which, as I found out, Laura, that is the private aviation terminal of Philadelphia International Airport. So it's on the international airport grounds. It's like tucked to the side. I don't know if they'll be allowing people to visit and wave at him as he comes, so I'm sure they'll make some arrangements.
I'm sure people will try. I'm sure people will try.
And then at 10:30 on Saturday, we'll be having a mass, private mass at the cathedral, the Basilica of St. Peter and Paul, which is the mother church of the Archdiocese of Philadelphia. I think that'll be for the priest only during that mass. Then in the afternoon at 4:45 on Saturday, he's going to have a visit to Independence Mall. He will stand in front of the Liberty Bell and Independence Hall and address the public there. As I understand, he'll actually be using as a podium. He'll be using the podium that Abraham Lincoln used for his Gettysburg Address.
That is so incredible. And I love how we as an American city so steeped in the history all the way back to our inception as a nation, how we're able to leverage that and incorporate that into his visit. That's really cool.
Yeah. Because much of what the Catholic Church teaches is synonymous with what our founding fathers started in this country. It really was an experiment, based on Christian values to say, what if we made a country that epitomized what Christ teaches?
Such a profound way to make it come full circle.
Yeah, make it come full circle.
Because imagine what that was like. I mean, the Gettysburg Address. Amazing.
Yeah. Right. So then the big thing on Saturday at 7:30 p.m., although the pre-events will be starting as early as 1 o'clock in the afternoon, but at 7:30 p.m. on the Benjamin Franklin Parkway, the same place the Mass will be on Sunday, same kind of thing. They're going to seal off the parkway there, and that'll be what they call the Festival of Families. So it's a very upbeat and joyful celebration of family. There will be music and dancing, professional dancers up there, and some world famous singers. Andrea Bocelli, the great opera singer, will be singing there. A fellow I don't know, but I'm sure our Hispanic listeners know. And again, I will butcher his name, but Juanes, I guess. Has 7 solo albums in multi-platinum sales, over 16 million copies. He's the leading all-Spanish language rock artist, 2-time Grammy and 20-time Latin Grammy winner, with 10 top 1 singles on the Billboard Latin charts. So and there'll be other singers as well. Those are just the two that they're highlighting. The Philadelphia Orchestra will be playing. And then the Pope will be on the stage there greeting people from all over the world. There'll be representative families from every continent in the world that will come to stand in front of the Pope and share a little bit of human stories of their own life as Catholic families. But very lively. It's not a liturgical event. It's a very joyful event. My advice to some people that ask me, how can I see the Pope? I have a feeling, I don't know why I'm saying this, but I have a feeling that would be the better opportunity in some ways to see the Pope. My guess is that event won't have as many people as the Mass will have on Sunday. So you might have a better chance logistically. I don't know if that's the case. I haven't seen any evidence of that, but people tend to key in on the Mass as the place to be, but he's going to be there Saturday night on the same place, on the steps of the Art Museum, overseeing this beautiful, joyful, lively performance of many great world singers and performers.
How fun will that be? Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, it's going to be pretty fun. I think it's an exciting exciting event. And then on Sunday, he starts the morning. He will be staying at the seminary, at St. Charles Borromeo Seminary in Wynwood there, where I went for my training, and where all seminarians go as well. And he's going to have a meeting in the morning there with the bishops at St. Martin's Chapel. And then from there, typical St. Francis, he's going to a correctional facility. He's going to a prison. And he's going to go speak with some of the prisoners at the Kerr and Fromhold Correctional Facility in Philadelphia. And then the big event. Then at 4 o'clock on Sunday will be the Mass for the conclusion of the World Meeting of Families. We're on the Benjamin Franklin Parkway. There'll be a dais set up in front of the steps. He won't be on the steps. He'll be in front of the steps, live. And, they expect, I've seen numbers anywhere between 1 and 2 million people, in attendance there. So you can imagine that's going to be, quite an event. And that's at the end of that, then he leaves later that evening, heads back to Rome. So that's the sort of the whole sequence of events. Let's talk now a little bit about the logistics of the event, because this is where everybody, you know, now it's getting closer. Everybody wants to know, what's it going to be like? How am I going to get there? You know, what's the traffic going to be like? Where do I go to the bathroom? Where do I eat? how do I get in? Can I get out?
Facebook is blowing up with all those questions.
Yeah, there's just a lot of things going on. And, you know, the first answer is to say, look, whatever we tell you now, you have to take with a grain of salt, because things are changing rapidly, right? The logistics of this are being handled so professionally. I'm so proud of Philadelphia. I said this earlier in some of my earlier talks. You know, as a deacon and as a Catholic, when I go to a business event, I sort of have one set of expectations for how it's going to be run. And when I go to a Catholic event, I sort of lower my expectations, because we're not professional, conference people, and we're not professional logistics people. So you sort of expect the more, little bumps here and there. But this is such a world event that they've hired the people that put on the Olympics. They've hired the people that put on the Super Bowl. They've hired the people that put on the Republican and Democratic National Conventions.
Wow.
People that are used to world-class events that require world-class logistics. So I'm sure there'll still be bumps, right? And they've hired world-class security, right? So not only does the Vatican have its own security detail, but the FBI is involved, the Secret Service is involved. I'm sure the CIA is involved in one way or the other. It has lots of security layers there to protect those that attend. But it's still a logistical challenge, even with the best and brightest of the world coming into Philadelphia. It will present a bunch of challenges. So let me just remind everybody, you're listening to Holy Spirit Radio with WISP. 1570 a.m. and 1420 a.m. in Doylestown and Coatesville. And I'm your host, Deacon Rich Napoli, here today with Laura Korsh on Deacon Dialogues, talking about the world meeting of families and some of the logistics and happy craziness that will be descending
yes.
upon this city.
That's a great way to put it.
So let's talk about what we know so far logistically, right? So as I said, the World Meeting of Family Congress is from Tuesday to Friday, and you can sign up for that. And then the Saturday and Sunday events, the public events, the Festival of Families, and the Papal Mass, they have no tickets. They're free. They're open to the public. And you might say, oh, that's great. You know, I'll just drive in and go see it, or I'll go take a train and go see it. That's where the logistics start to get interesting, right? Because think about the logistics of transporting 2 million people into a 1 mile square area or something like that, 2 mile square area. You start to see the problems, right? You can't all drive in, you can't all train in, you can't all bus in. So what are they going to do? So it's a series of things. First and foremost, they have to be secure, right? They have to provide for the security of the people, and of course for the Pope as well. So that's their primary concern, is make sure it's secure. So starting on Friday, as early as Friday morning, certain sections of Philadelphia start to lock down. They will actually block off traffic that can no longer enter the area. So they'll start with the Rittenhouse Square area on Friday morning. Most of the city stays open during the day on Friday. Friday evening, some at 6 p.m., and then over on the university area, it starts at 10 p.m. They actually basically are creating a sealed-off area where no traffic can come in and out. If you're in there already, it's fine. You can stay in, but if you try to leave with your car, you won't be able to come back in. And beyond that point, now, you know, the only way to get in is either through mass transit, through a train, or through a bus that might be arranged through your parish. So there are many parishes that have arranged for buses. They have to be specially designated buses. They have to be registered with the World Meeting of Family as a bus. And you will be told, unfortunately, they won't be dropping you right off in front, as you might those of you who've gone to the pro-life marches in D.C., they kind of just pull you right up to the Independence Mall and off you go. But here you'll be parked quite a ways away, maybe as far away as the stadiums, and you'll be given a token, and you can take the subway up to Center City, or you could walk up to Center City. Anyway, the only way to get into the city after 10 o'clock on Friday night will be if through some form of mass transit. You won't be able to drive into the city at that point.
Right. And as far as I know, they already had the lottery for the train tickets. But are they also doing something upcoming for all the trolleys and the buses and the mass transit, the SEPTA?
Right. So SEPTA has gone through great steps to try to accommodate as many people into the city as possible. So they've done a few things. For that weekend, they're not going to run their regular train schedule, right? So they're because the logistics of moving trains in and out of Philly, you have to be much faster than stopping at every station along the way. Most of the stations will be closed. I don't have the full list of the stations that will be open. I know in our area, Woodburn Station will be open. The Warminster train station will be open. There's a few other stations.
Levittown will be open.
And the Cornwall Heights will be open, I believe, as well.
Right.
Right off 95. So there are a few stations that will be open, but as Laura says, you can't just show up that day and buy your regular train ticket. You have to have purchased one in advance. And so the SEPTA system had a lottery a few weeks ago where if you wanted to get a pass for that weekend, you would you submit your name, and then pretty much everybody that submitted their name got a ticket because I don't think they completely sold out.
Right. I believe you're correct, and I know I got my ticket, so woohoo! I'm pretty happy about that.
Yeah.
And I know a few friends who are using that method, and when all was said and done, it was a pretty simple process using the lottery.
Right.
So if they're doing another lottery in the future for other forms of SEPTA transit, I'm sure it'll run smoothly as well.
Right.
Or I'm confident it will.
Right, right, so. Right. So, and then for those of you who signed up for the Congress already, or about, you can still sign up for the Congress and attend a 3-day session or any part of it. If you sign up for the Congress, you automatically are eligible to purchase a SEPTA pass that works for the entire week, including the weekend.
That's neat.
So, and you can come and go anytime. You don't have to buy a certain pass for a certain time or certain train station. It works through the entire network. So that's a real plus for signing up for the Congress.
Hmm.
You're not limited to the lottery pass is limited you to certain times at certain stations. The pass that comes with the registration for the Congress opens it up, the whole SEPTA system, to you any time of the day or night.
And that's if you sign up for the entire conference?
I believe so, yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, that's good to know.
So it's it's $125 to sign up for the Congress. The SEPTA pass for the week is $53. So it's not so bad. It's not cheap, but considering what you're faced with. The other option, I'll give you sort of a sneak tidbit. The one thing I've heard of is that's still an option is you could go, say, to Trenton, New Jersey,
That's right.
And take the Amtrak train right to Center City, right to the 30th Street Station. There are still tickets available on Amtrak. They're not cheap, as cheap as SEPTA, of course, but sometimes they're better. Very nice seats and very comfortable ride. They have a cafe car in there, and it's about a 40-minute train ride from Trenton to Philadelphia. I've seen the tickets as cheap as $22 each way, as much as $55 each way, depending on the time that you go. But that's
right.
Another option for people that want to take a train but can't get a SEPTA train.
What about PATCO? Are they also doing something special for the
Thank
people
you
visit?
For reminding me. Yes,
yes.
PATCO is the other option. For those of you coming from New Jersey, PATCO is an option. They're running special trains as well from their only a few stations, and I don't have the list of stations with me, but you can look it up on the PATCO website. You can buy a ticket that gives you a pass, and they're not so much worried about time. You can pretty much go any time, I think. But they go from, across the Brent Franklin Bridge on the other side right into Center City. I think they get off at 9th and Locust. So that's another way in. No matter how you come in, though, be prepared to walk. It's one of the advices they think is that think of it as pilgrimage. Think of it as you're going to have to walk a substantial distance. So I would say, a minimum of 3 miles, probably more, a total 5 to 6 miles from the time from where you get off on your train or your bus to where you're standing in front of the Pope at the Papal Mass. It's going to be miles of miles to walk, folks. So bring your walking shoes. If you're handicapped, I don't know how that will work. I know they're having some handicap access, but it will be particularly challenging because you have to travel with a large crowd. You have to go through a lot of tight spaces. So I didn't mention this, but the actual mall area, the boulevard, the parkway area, will be all fenced in. and they will have metal detectors that you have to pass through to get into the final area where you can see the Pope.
Well,
it's not
going
to be open
know.
To the public. It's open to the public, but you can't just walk in. You're going to have to go through security. So, again, if you're in a wheelchair or something like that, it could be a real challenge. And I don't have specific instructions. I know they're still working on access for disabled, but you're going to have to take some kind of mass transit to get there or do like I'm doing and just, you know, I'm going down there Tuesday. I'm just going to stay there till the following Monday. So, my, you know, I'll be there the whole week. I don't have to worry about this. But it is a challenge if you're planning only on coming that day. Let's see, other things. So they'll be closing a lot of the roads, and not just in the city. Not, you know, like I said, there's a 3-mile area, so it goes from the Delaware River, you know, past the Schuylkill over to the University City area, pretty much from South Street up to, I can't tell quite where it goes, but well north of City Hall. That whole area will be locked down. And then beyond that, the Schuylkill Expressway will be closed starting Friday night from the Blue Route, 476, all the way up at the top, all the way down to 95. So you can just forget about taking the Schuylkill anywhere. It's going to be closed. Route 1 will be closed from over by the seminary to the Schuylkill. The Vine Street Expressway will be closed as well. So pretty much, you know, any Ben Franklin Bridge will be closed to anything other than pedestrian traffic. So you can walk across the Ben Franklin Bridge, but you can't drive across
that's
it.
That's interesting.
So, yeah, keep in mind, just get in your head, you're not taking the car to this event.
Yes, but the good news is, as a pedestrian, you're not going to feel, you're going to feel very safe as a pedestrian enjoying the city.
That's right. So, there won't be much traffic. Of course, taxis will be running inside that 3-mile area. You can taxi around, but they'll be faced with a lot of people walking the streets.
Will Uber be running
during
that time?
I imagine they
really
will. But the key thing is you have to get in the area before the 10 o'clock lockdown period on Friday. Otherwise, you can't, even the taxis won't be able to get in there.
That's true, yes.
Although I think the taxis can stay there till 2 a.m. on Saturday. I take that back. They can go there so people can have a Friday night and go see sightseeing and stuff.
Aren't there other events that aren't directly affiliated with World Meeting of Families?
Yeah, and there's a whole bunch of sightseeing events that are going on. You can go to worldmeetingfamilies.org, worldmeeting2015.org. to see all the events. There's some, you know, Philadelphia is a rich city, a colonial city. It's the birthplace of America, the founding of our country. It's got wonderful museums and sites to see, you know, throughout the whole weekend. And there's some special events. The Constitution Center, of course, will be open to visitors. All the traditional Independence Hall and Betsy Ross House and Ben Franklin's house and all those houses. George Washington, the church that George Washington used to say mass, but to hear you know, services in his Christian faith. All those facilities will be open, and they'll all be accepting tourists. It should
That's
be quite
good.
An event that way. There will be, I did find out from the art museum will be closed at least that Sunday, because there's no way you're going to get there. You know where you're going to get there.
Makes sense.
Until then. So anyway, I hope you all got some value out of this. You know, obviously, as I said, it's an incredible experience for Philadelphia, not without its challenges. You know, but I encourage you to step up and treat this as a pilgrimage. It's a once in a lifetime event. Be a part of it and see the Pope. Talk to people from all over the world that are becoming to talk about family and share their family experiences. What a great way! If you can't go, you can also open your house to host a family that's visiting. There's ways to do that online as well. Very safe and secure way to you know, be a part of it, maybe without being downtown. If you're not going to be part of it, I do encourage you, don't get anywhere near the city. You know, if you need to be away, stay in your home. Or, you know, somebody said you got to be 50 miles away from the city to not be impacted by the events here. So it has that large of an impact. Anyway, I think that's all we have time for today, Laura. I thank you for being a guest on today's show. And
thank you for having me. And, this was a pleasure.
Yeah, it was really great to have you here. It's been a great Laura's joined us in my company here only a month ago or so.
Right.
It seems like you've been here forever already. But it's been a wonderful time having you, and thank you. And anyway, folks, this will be the last show I think we do before the World Meeting of Family. I will be down there during that week. My wife, Jen, will be with me, and we'll be broadcasting live there occasionally and certainly just being part of the whole thing. So stop by and see us at the Holy Spirit Radio booth, which will be in the Convention Center, and stop by and say hello. Thank you all, and God bless. Take care. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to Deacon Dialogues. We hope you will join us each month at this time, the fourth Friday at 4 p.m., or for the encore the following Sunday at 2 p.m.